Let us turn again to Acts chapter 16, the passage we read. With our Bibles open, let us just seek the Lord for His blessing. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for the invitation of the Savior for sinners to come unto Him. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that the invitation still remains for sinners in this meeting. Lord, we come afresh to Thee for Thy help. Take away every distracting thought and come by Thy Holy Spirit into our midst. Bless us. Bless all such gatherings tonight. Visit us, Lord. Speak with the voice that wakes the dead, awakens those who are dead in trespasses and sins. Reveal Christ in all of His glory and the glory of His salvation. We ask Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, we are in the city of Philippi, where a number of souls from different walks of life have been saved by the grace of God. The first soul we're introduced to is a religious woman whose name is Lydia, and she's found in a meeting outside the city by a riverside. And as Paul speaks to that handful of women, the Lord opens the heart of Lydia and she is gloriously converted. The second conversion is another woman. She's not a religious woman. She's a worldly woman who, we're told, made her masters much gain by soothsaying. A worldly woman, but gloriously converted and changed and taken out of her sin. The third person who is saved in this passage in the city of Philippi is this man described as the Philippian jailer. And he seems to be a rough sort of a man, with very little time for the things of God. But God saved them. And let me say to you tonight that whether you are a religious sinner or not, or whether you walk the clean side of the broad road or the dirty side of the broad road, or whether you might be a gentle kind of person or a rough kind of person, we're still all sinners, just as these souls were. And we are all still on the broad road that leadeth to destruction, and we all need to be reached and saved by the grace of God. And Christ is the only answer. We want to look at this man here who was saved. God's servants were preaching in the city of Philippi. Some have been saved, and of course some become very angry with God's servants, and they are arrested and they are thrown into prison, and they remain in the darkness of that prison until midnight, when suddenly there was a great earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And so there's this earthquake all of a sudden, and the prison doors fly open and the chains fall off the prisoners. And there's this jailer who suddenly awakens out of his sleep and he sees what has happened. And he knows what will happen to him if these prisoners are let loose. He will die. He will be executed. And so he draws out his sword. And he's just about to take his own life. When God's servants, who had just been so roughly handled by him, see what's happening and they cry out to this man in verse 28, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And the man, he immediately calls for a light and he comes in to the preachers with this request in the verse 30. And he says very simply to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" It is at this point of crisis in this man's life when he gets the answer to the most important question he ever asked in his life. And he's saved. He becomes a saved man. "What must I do to be saved?" And of course the answer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And we want to look at this preacher's answer for a few moments. In the first place, it was simple. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Look at how short it is. Just a few words. They didn't wind it out very long. It was just a short answer. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And of course we may have a lot of things to say in our message tonight. And we may have a lot to say in our meetings Sunday night after Sunday night, but you know, it all comes down to this very point. Just as simple and as short as this: you want to be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's it in a nutshell. It was short. Look at how simple it was. Just a few simple words. Easy to be understood. Even a child can understand these words. "Do you want to be saved, little one?" Listen, you can understand these words. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There was C.H. Spurgeon who said that a child of 5, if properly instructed, can as readily believe and be regenerated as anyone. Why is that? Because the gospel is simple for a child to understand. The answer was short and the answer was simple. And man and woman tonight, and boys and girls in this meeting tonight, we do not ask you to do a whole lot of different and difficult things tonight or in the coming days and weeks in order to be saved. It just comes as short and as simple as this. It is all boiled down to this in a nutshell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Look at how straightforward it was, this answer. They need not, or he need not, work for this salvation. He need not begin some kind of course or go through some kind of ceremonies. He need not wait until there's a change in his life or he has bettered himself in some way. He need not. It is as short and as simple and as straightforward as this. This was the answer of the Apostle Paul to this seeking sinner. How must he be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Just come as you are. Oh dear Philippian jailer, a rough man and all that you might be, just come as you are. A great big rough sinner, just come now as you are. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I wonder tonight, have you come as this man did, just as you are? Can you look back to that experience? The answer is simple. A child can answer it. A child can understand it. And it's the same for all. It was the same for him 2,000 years ago, and it's the same for you tonight, sinner. Many, of course, stumble over this simple answer. And they will argue. They may even get up on their high horse as Naaman, for example, did. You remember the story? How God's servant just told him to go simply to Jordan, wash and be clean. And he started to argue about the situation. And his servants, they come to Naaman and they say to him, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? And now rather, why not do just what he has said, wash and be clean? Just wash and be clean is as simple as that. Just as short and as simple and as straightforward as this. Wash and be clean. And sinner friend, tonight it is as short and simple as this. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You come to that fountain open for sin and uncleanness. You wash, you'll be clean. You'll be saved by the grace of God. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It is as short and as simple and as straightforward as that. And you know, it is as simple as that, very simply, because salvation is found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's found in the person of Christ. You come to Christ for salvation, and he'll do the saving, and he will also do the keeping. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you like, he simplifies the matter, because he takes on the responsibility of saving you, sinner, and keeping you, and taking you to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, I'm telling you the truth, and you can rely upon it. You can accept it. That Christ came into this world for this very purpose, to save sinners. Salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Philippian jailer asked this question, Paul directed him to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And this simplifies the whole matter. Christ takes on the responsibility of our salvation. You know, churches can complicate the whole issue of salvation by adding so many works and ceremonies and penance, if you like, in order to be saved. But it is not church, it is not a set of rules, it is not anything or anybody else. There's only one who can save you, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. He does the saving. He saves and he keeps the sinner. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He saves us and he keeps us. And that is why we direct you to Christ tonight. If you want to be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It is as simple and as straightforward as that. C.H. Spurgeon on his deathbed had this to say after all of his preaching, and he preached hundreds of sermons, and after all of his writing, and he wrote dozens of books. He says, all of my theology and all of my faith can be summed up in a few simple words. Christ died for me. I wonder tonight, sinner friend in this meeting, have you grasped this simple truth for yourself? Have you come to that place in your experience? You recognize that Christ died for me. And you've looked to him. And you can come to him just as you are. Sinner friend, you can come to him tonight just as you are, as a sinner, and simply put your trust in Christ, and he will do the saving. It was a simple answer to this man's question. But also, it was not shallow. Yes, this is the answer this man needed to hear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But there was depth to his belief. There are those who may complicate the gospel, the high church, with all their sets of rules and ceremonies. You wouldn't know what to do or when you will ever be saved. But there are also those among evangelicals who oversimplify the gospel. And there is no depth of faith or true saving experience among them. It is not just some nod of the head or some wave of the hand or some fleeting notion, this faith which saves. It's something deeper. And it was something deeper in this man's life. It was something which lasted in this man's life. We're told in James chapter 2 that the devils believe and tremble. Oh, they tremble at the presence of God, at the thought of Christ and Calvary, at the thought of eternal judgment. They believe it's coming. They tremble. But that is not saving faith. Because the devil and his angels are still heading toward judgment. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. The jailer also believed, he also trembled, but he went much further in his belief. He had saving faith in Christ. The man was saved. There was a whole change in his thinking, unlike the devil. There was a whole change in his direction. There was a whole change in his destiny. His feet were taken off the road that leadeth to destruction and planted upon the narrow way that leads on to everlasting life. There was depth to this man's belief. When he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was truly saved. He became a new man. He longed to know the way of salvation. He wanted to be saved, this man. Look at him in verse 29. He called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This man, he wanted to be saved. And he asked if he could be saved. And let me say to you tonight, if you are ever to be saved, you are not just to sit around and wait for something to happen. There are people who are doing that. Oh, I haven't seen the light yet. We must feel our need of salvation. We must sense our need of salvation, like this man. He wanted to be saved. He asked that he might be saved. There was depth to this man's faith because he recognized a number of things in his own life that he had no time for the things of God. Notice how roughly he handled the servants of the Lord when he threw them into the inner prison and fixed their feet fast in the stocks. He had no time for the things of God, and he had come to realize this. And he knew that there had to be a change of heart. He had no peace in his own soul. Because he comes here seeking salvation, trembling. He has no peace in his heart. There is no preparation made today to meet God. He knew now, at this very point, it was time to get right with God. Have you ever come to that place in your life? It's now time for me to get right with God. Have you ever got right with God? Have you ever come to recognize your own condition before God as a sinner and felt your need to be saved? Like the prodigal son who came to an end of himself. He says, "Now I know what I'll do." This jailer came to an end of himself. Have you come to an end of yourself? "I've had no time for the things of God. I have no peace in my heart. I have no preparation made for eternity." Well, now is the time to seek the Lord, as others have done, and to ask for salvation. This man had come to this point in his life where he saw his need as a sinner for salvation and he longed for it. Have you ever longed to be saved? Have you ever sought salvation? Are you saved? He longed to know the way of salvation and he also listened to the way of salvation. After this man came seeking salvation, we're told in verse 32, concerning the preachers, they spake unto him the word of the Lord. This man was a rough sinner. He needed to be saved. And he needed to know why he needed to be saved. He needed to understand why he needed to be saved. And that is why he asked these servants of the Lord, "What must I do?" And as we can see here, they took him aside and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and explained to him the way of salvation. And if we are ever to be saved, yes, we must feel our need of salvation and we must also understand why we need to be saved. And we need to be spoken to. and we need to be shown the way, and we need to listen to God's word just as you're doing tonight, and be shown what God has said concerning your sinful condition and your need of Christ. You need to hear the gospel just as this man did. Remember Philip, who reached the Ethiopian eunuch before he believed. When Philip came across him, he was sitting in his chariot reading the scriptures, Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip, he got up into the carriage and he sat down beside him and he explained to him the scriptures. And he preached unto him Jesus. And he showed him why he needed to be saved. Christ was preached to him before he truly believed in him. He saw himself as a sinner. He saw Christ as the Savior. And Paul, he could have taken this jailer to the very same passage in Isaiah chapter 53. He could have read to him verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he could have expounded to him the truth concerning his own waywardness, his own sinfulness, his own need of Christ, and Christ's salvation, and Christ's substitution. How he bare all his sins in his own body on the tree. I'm sure these truths were expounded when he spake to this man, and he listened. He listened carefully. And he understood what Christ had done for him, bearing his sins in his own body on the tree, bearing his own punishment, and shedding his own blood. This is what he had to believe. And this is what gave depth to his belief. And this is what saved him. He had a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He longed for the way of salvation. He listened to the way of salvation. And then he left his old ways for Christ. There was a change in this man's life. From that day, he believed in Christ. Notice how he takes the preachers home in verse 33. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And also he set meat before them. Is this the same rough jailer that threw them into prison? It is. But he's a new man now. He's a changed man. He cares for the servants of the Lord. He's baptized. You'll notice that when he washed their stripes, he was baptized. And this, of course, involved a public stand. Even more public, I believe, than it is in these days, away back there in the city of Philippi among a heathen people, to step out, to stand out, and to be baptized, to identify yourself publicly with the Lord Jesus Christ. It took courage. It took faith. But here's a man who believed in Christ, and he was ready to stand out for Christ. But this was only the beginning, of course. He had to continue to stand out for Christ in Philippi and identify himself with Christ in Philippi, because now he was a changed man. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and he was saved. There was depth to this man's belief. Let me ask you tonight in this meeting. You say that you believe. Is there this kind of depth to your belief? Have you changed? Is there a change in your life? Is there that desire in your heart for Christ and His Word? Is there that desire in your heart to leave the old ways and the old manner of life and the world and the sin and everything that goes with it, and to stand out for Christ in the world? Is there that desire in your life? You say that you're saved. Is there that change? Are you a new person? Is there depth to your faith? Is there depth to your salvation? What must I do to be saved? Is the evidence there? Is it clear to yourself? Is it clear to all those that know you? You're a new man. Oh, there's depth to his faith. What must I do to be saved? The answer is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But the experience is not shallow. He's a new man. But notice in closing that this salvation also, it was sure. This man who had just believed was now not only saved, but he was also sure of it. This assurance was expressed by the preachers in verse 31 in their answer. What do they say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You're going to be saved. Thou shalt be saved. And you know, this is how we find our assurance of salvation. You know, people have all sorts of funny ideas concerning the assurance of their salvation. How do we know we're saved? How did this man know he was saved? Because he believed the word that had been expressed by the preachers. Our assurance for salvation is not found in how we feel because our feelings change. It is found in the word of God, because God has said. And if you believe tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ to the salvation of your soul, there's depth to your faith, there's change in your life, then God's word gives you this assurance that you're saved. This assurance was also expressed by the man himself, because you'll notice there in the house with God's servants, he doesn't feel awkward with them anymore, but he is happy to entertain them, and he rejoices, it says, believing in God. He is happy because he has assurance in his heart. I wonder tonight, if you profess to know Christ, are you happy? Are you happy knowing Christ? Are you happy among God's people? It is obvious to himself and to all those in his house that he had believed to the salvation of his soul. He had that assurance. I wonder tonight as we close, do you have such assurance in your heart? We've thought upon the conversions here in Philippi. These women and the testimony of this man, this Philippian jailer, what about you? What about your faith in Christ? Do you believe in Christ? It's not just about him, but you believe in him as your Savior, that he has saved you. And that he is going to take you at last to be in heaven. If you don't have that assurance, you can tonight. That's the wonderful thing. You can have that assurance tonight if you just come just as you are, as a sinner, to Christ. He can make that change in your life, and he can give you that assurance in your heart by trusting alone in Christ for salvation. Let us close with a singing of a couple of verses. 289, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. We'll stand as we sing the first verse and the fifth verse, verse 1 and verse 5, just to close our meeting. The Lord has been speaking to you. Then sing these words prayerfully. and don't rest and don't leave this place until you know Christ as your Saviour. We'll stand and sing verses 1 and 5. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thank Thee for the simplicity of the Gospel. We pray that sinners tonight will have grace to come, to truly repent and believe the Gospel. Believe in Christ for salvation. Help them to come, Lord, just as they are. We thank Thee that this man receiveth sinners. Lord, speak on to hearts. We pray that Thou wilt be with us till we meet again. We ask Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.